to see everyone. We're going to take a break from Romans this morning. As I said, we have those sheets out here. I'd like you all to take one home and look at it. And we're going to talk today about the body of Christ. The text is from Ephesians. And I just want to talk a little bit about what God has ordained in the body of Christ. You know, when He saves us, it's not just so we can be saved. And sometimes that's kind of what we'd like, you know, just save me and let me go on and live my life the way I want to. But that's not why the Lord saves us. And Jesus has chosen us as fallen creatures to be His witnesses on this earth. We're to be His hands and feet, and we're to speak for Him. We're to listen for Him. We're to comfort people in His name. We're to encourage them, teach them. And there's a lot involved in that. And the main thing that's going to be involved is time, your time. And I praise God that He doesn't throw us into this and say, do this and just do the best you can. And we're going to talk about that this morning, about how Jesus has equipped His body, the church, to do what needs to be done. I'm preaching out of the New Living Translation this morning. Our text is Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Making allowances for each other's faults, because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father, who is over all and in all, and living through all. However, He has given to each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the Scriptures say, when He ascended to the heights, He led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to His people. Notice that it says He ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that He might fill the entire universe with Himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave for the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the church, His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Father, I thank You that Your word does not return to You void, but accomplishes what You send it out to do. I ask that Your word has its way in this congregation this morning, that You will open our ears to hear and our eyes to see, and help us to understand, Lord, that we are all called, and we are called to do Your will, and You will equip us to do that. I thank You for those here, Lord, who teach, who volunteer in this church. Lord, I ask Your blessing upon them. And if there are any here considering stepping into this role, I pray that You will bless them if that is your call for them, Lord, and that you will provide for them the gifts and tools they need to do that. And may everything we do and say here today and every other day be for the glory of Jesus Christ. For we ask it in His name. Amen. God has called Christians. Paul says that. We like that Jesus wants to be our Savior. In fact, Brother Wayne made the comment in Sunday school this morning, a lot of people want to call Him Savior but not Lord. And you can't have it one way. To be your Savior, Jesus also wants to be your Lord. He has that right. So when Paul says God has called Christians, that means that He has a specific task or purpose for us. I want to read you a couple introductions in Paul's epistles of how he addresses the different churches he writes and talks about God's call. He says in Romans, "You are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ." So keep that in mind. We are called to belong to Jesus Christ. I mentioned that last week in the message, that we're called to be slaves, called to be servants of Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be His own holy people." To the church at Corinth, Paul says, "I am writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be His own holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as He did for all people everywhere who call on the name of the Lord, our Lord, Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours." So Paul says we have been called, again, we've been called to belong to Christ and to be God's holy people. He says to the church of Galatia, "May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave His life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen." So that was to the Galatian church. Paul said God's purpose in Jesus Christ and His plan was to rescue us from our sins and to deliver us from this evil world. You remember in John 17 in Jesus' high priestly prayer, He says, "Father, I'm not asking You to take My church out of the world, but protect them from the evil one." God has a purpose for His church. He has a definite plan for the body of Christ. And Paul says in Ephesians, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure." Now, I know that's a lot to take in, but I wanted to give you examples from some of Paul's writings. Every church he writes to, he reminds them of at least two truths that are universal for the body of Christ. He said, "You are called to belong to Christ, and you are called to be holy." We like to say in the church today that, well, holiness is imputed to us, and it is, through what Jesus Christ did. But we like to say that and hang on to our sin. I don't have to change. God sees me as holy. I heard one minister on the radio give the example of a snow-covered junkyard. He said, "It's all junk, but when it's covered in snow, it looks beautiful." And that's how God looks at the Christian. You're just full of junk, but all He sees is beauty. That is a doctrine of men. It has no scriptural bearing. God says, "You be holy because I am holy." Period. We want Christianity without conversion. We want to be convinced of the truth, but not changed by it. That is not God's call. In His priestly prayer, Jesus said, "Father, for their sakes, I sanctify myself." Sanctification was all the way back even in the Old Testament. When God would set a city apart to be destroyed, it was holy. God said, that's holy. The people are, the animals, everything is dedicated to destruction. So God could bless somebody and set them aside, and He could curse someone and set them aside for cursing. We've been set aside as a blessing. And Jesus said, I set myself apart for my church so they can truly be sanctified. Sanctified means set apart for a holy purpose. So when we come to Jesus Christ, the Bible says, number one, we belong to Him. Paul said, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price, and that price was with the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible warns the Christians, do not count that blood as an unholy thing and trample it under your feet. God will not be very happy with those that do that. And He said, I have set you apart for a holy purpose, and it's not that you're doing this on your own, is what I'm trying to get across to you. God does impute holiness to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. It says in Galatians, we are holy and without fault if we continue in the faith. If is that big little word that we don't like. There are no ifs or buts. Yes, there are. God says, I count you as holy, but He not only imputes holiness, He imparts holiness through the person of the Holy Spirit. Your responsibility is to obey Him. I have a problem with people that tell me, well, I'm a Christian, and yet they live in sexual sin. I talk about that a lot because I see it a lot. I hear it a lot. Professed Christians who live out of wedlock and share the same bed, a husband and wife, but they're not husband and wife. Well, I'm a Christian. No, you're a believer. There's a difference. In John chapter 8, it said, many of the Jews, when they heard Jesus' teaching, believed on Him. And He said to those Jews, if you live in My Word, then you are My disciples. You notice He doesn't say, if you believe My Word, you are My disciples. Since you believe in Me, you're now My disciples. Jesus didn't say that. And later on in John's Gospel, He calls those believing Jews children of the devil. See, they believed in Jesus. They were convinced of Jesus, but they weren't converted. They wanted to believe in Jesus, and they wanted to do their thing in His name. And Jesus said, that doesn't make you a disciple just because you believe in Me. And many preachers today would have run out into that crowd with decision cards and church membership cards and said, we're so glad you believe in Jesus. That makes you a Christian, and we want to get you signed up into the church. And I'm going to tell you, that's what a lot of the problem is in the church today. We're full of believers who are convinced but not converted. Now, it's not my call to sort that out. That is the call of Jesus Christ. That's His job. He's the judge. Anybody that comes to me and confesses Jesus Christ, that they believe He's the Son of God, I will baptize. But that's not to me to say whether they really got saved or not, whether they really meant it or not. Only God knows your heart. Jesus said, here's the test. Does My Word live in you? Does My Word have its place in your life? Does My Word convert you and change you? See, we've been called by God to be holy people. The Bible says peculiar people. I like that call. I was peculiar before I came to Christ, and I'm still peculiar. God can use that. And I'm peculiar in the eyes of the world as a Christian because I don't agree with them. I'm not going to sit and pat a Christian on the back who is living in obvious sin and tell them they're okay with God, because that's a lie. I'm not going to say to the gay Christian that they're in Christ. because homosexuality is an abomination to God. He hates it. He didn't create us to be that way. But today, the world we live in says, don't tell us that. You're supposed to accept us, that God made us this way, and that is a lie. God did not make you that way. You chose that lifestyle. It's a sexual bondage that Jesus Christ can set you free from. That's why He came here, church. Now, why am I picking on the gays? They started it. They're up here in the media and getting in my face telling me, you got to accept me. No, I don't. Just like I don't have to accept men and women living out of wedlock and telling me they're saved. No, you're not. You're a believer in Jesus Christ, but His Word has no place in you because you won't allow Him to convert you. You call Him Savior, but you won't call Him Lord. God has a purpose for the body of Christ. We're to be the voice of the Holy Spirit. We're to be light in this world. And we can't be light when we run around and act like the rest of the world. God has a plan for His body. When He saves you, He not only wants to be Savior, He demands to be Lord. And He says, part of following Me is to carry your cross. God has called the Christian to belong to Jesus and to be holy. It was His good pleasure and grace that enabled us who believe in Jesus to be blessed by Jesus in every spiritual blessing. That's God's purpose and grace. You see, Peter says that we have everything we need to be partakers of the divine nature. That's what I love the Lord for that. He says, Rick, you be holy, but He doesn't say, be holy on your concept of what holiness is. Do the best you can to be holy. He says, I'm going to give you everything you need for holiness in the person of the Holy Spirit living within you. Your job is to obey Him and to listen. Now, I'm talking about in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, we are called to be just like Jesus. And that's no matter what the world throws at us, no matter what the world says to us, we are to be just like Jesus. If they want to call us intolerant and bigoted, Jesus said you're blessed because the Spirit of God rests upon you. Because you're not compromising. You're calling sin, sin. But you're not only calling it that, you're living that way. There's something different about us. Jesus Christ, who is God the Word, became a man. The text says He descended to our lowly earthly region. He lived among us as a man, as a servant of God, the sinless Son of God. He died on a cross for our sins. He was raised again on the third day and proven to be just who He claimed to be. And in His mission statement, He said, I have come to set you free. Are you free this morning? Think about that. Am I free? Am I different because of my belief in Jesus Christ? If the answer is no, then I encourage you this morning to come to Him in humility. Come just as you are and say, Jesus, I need You. Please save me. Please heal me. Please change me. Jesus said of His church, my prayer, I don't pray for the world. I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for those You've given me out of the world. And one thing He prayed was that we might be one. He said, just as the Father is in me and I am Him, He said, everything the Father has, He's given to me. So what's His is mine and what's mine is His. And He says, I want my church to be one in the Spirit, one in us. But we're so busy fighting over doctrine and who's got the truth and who doesn't and who's right and who's not that we're not being one. We're having discipleship classes on Sunday night. Jesus Christ wants us to be disciples and disciple makers. That's His call, church. The Bible says that when Jesus ascended, to fill the heavens, to fill the universe with Himself, to take His rightful place at the right hand of the Father, waiting for all of His enemies to be made His footstool, that He gave gifts to the church. First of all, He gave apostles, and then prophets. Another word is preachers. You didn't know I was a gift, did you? Deal with it. Evangelists, pastors, that word means elders. Teachers. Paul said these are gifts from Christ. He says their responsibility, now listen to this, those of you who are pastors, elders, people in here call me Pastor Rick, and that's fine, but I'm not the only pastor here. We have Pastor Doc, Pastor Gary, Pastor Don, Pastor Hank, Pastor Wayne. We're pastors. And God said we're a gift. Deal with that. We're all gifts. And we have a responsibility first to Christ, then to you. This is what the responsibility is, to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. It does not say the teachers, the preachers, and the elders are called to do all the work in the church. That's not what it says, but that's how a lot of the church reads it. That's Rick's job to go call on the sick. That's Rick's job to go do nursing home calls. That's what we pay him for. That's the elder's job. And boy, you want to get down on the elders when they don't do that. What kind of elders we got? The Bible says we're called to equip you to do the work. Now, am I saying that the elders have no other responsibility? No, that's not what I'm saying. Am I saying teachers have no other responsibilities? No, that's not what I mean. But understand God's implication. I've called you all to my work. When I used to go to the nursing home on Saturdays, I'd take my guitar and a box of old hymns we had here, and I'd have a church service every Saturday with these people. I can remember some of those people would say, "Does so-and-so go to your church?" "Yeah." "Boy, I sure wish they'd come and see me." And I'd go talk to people sometimes and say, "Somebody's asked for you." "Oh, preacher, I'm too busy. I don't like nursing homes, preacher. They make me nervous, you know. They make me uncomfortable. And I just soon not go there." What a chance you miss to minister in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave you teachers and pastors and evangelists to equip you to do the work that He's called you to do. No one in the church is excluded from ministry. You're all ministers. I can't do it by myself. I can't be everywhere at once. I can't call on the sick if I don't know they're sick. You know, I've had people come and say, "I was in the hospital for 2 days and nobody come to see me." "Well, nobody told me you was in the hospital. I'd have come and seen you, bless your heart." And that is part of my responsibility. That's why you pay me as a full-time minister. I have more time to do things like that. I'm not trying to shirk my responsibility. But what I'm saying in the body of Christ, don't get that attitude that that's what we pay the preacher for and it's his responsibility to go call on all the sick and all those who are depressed, all those who are struggling, all those who have problems. Because I'm going to tell you what happens. It overloads us. When you refuse to help carry the load, it overloads your leadership. And then you start wondering, "Well, what's their problem? How come they're so aggravated? And, you know, my gosh, I said something and they practically bit my head off." God never intended one man to run the church. He never intended for the elders to be the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The elders serve under Him. The elders are to teach the body. And let me tell you how you teach. Elder, teacher, preacher, evangelist, whatever your role is in the church, you teach by example. Jesus Christ is looking for men and women who will allow Him to break them so He can mold them. We talked about the sovereignty of God in Romans, how God molds us like the potter molds the clay and according to His will. John Wesley said, true sanctification is when we allow God to take our will and make it His. We allow that. You can't teach if you don't follow. Being an elder or a teacher does not put you above God's law. You should be an example in the flock of what it means to follow Jesus Christ and to live for Jesus Christ. And you can't do that if you refuse to allow Him to make you His. Boy, that's been so much more real to me as I go. The farther I go into ministry and pastoral ministry. Brother Mark made a comment in Sunday school one day. I said, I wish God would send some normal sinners our way. And he said, we're all broken. Man, that has stuck with me. We're all broken. And God has called us to minister to people. He wants to break you for Christ so He can mold you into the image of Christ. Then you're useful. We are to teach by example, church. And if we can't lead by example, we need to get out of the way and let somebody in there that will. I'm being just as honest as I know how to be. But that goes from the pulpit to the pew. Now, I'm not saying that teachers never stumble, preachers never stumble, preachers never fall, elders will never disappoint you. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is if you're in one of these offices, you need to realize something. God has placed a call on your life to equip His people. And people, God has called you to obey your leaders, to follow your leaders' example, and to reach out to Christ, for Christ in this community. Mansfield Christian Church is called to make an impact on the community of Mansfield, Missouri, and the communities that we live in. And you can't do that until you belong to Jesus Christ, until you have fallen in love with Him, and that's going to be your sole purpose in life. I'm going to win people to Christ. I'm going to make a difference. I told someone a while back I was praying, been praying, saying, God, what do you want us to do here? He said, as goes the leaders, so goes the congregation. That was a good rebuke. Yeah. Well, leaders, get up off your blessed assurance and do something, and we'll follow you. But remember, it's not just our job. We've been called to equip you to do the work God has for you to do. Well, how do I know what God wants me to do? You're responsible for that. You're responsible to pray and seek His face and say, what do you want me to do? And then wait for an answer. There is no greater joy. If you've never done this or never been used like this, there's no greater joy than God allowing you to be involved in leading someone to Jesus Christ. No greater joy you'll ever know. I have seen God take sinners and turn them into saints. And I've learned through the years, I'm not instrumental in people coming to Christ. I'm just part of an instrument. One sows, one waters, but it's God that gives the increase. If you're in this body and you're thinking about maybe stepping into a teaching position, this is not to talk you out of it. I'm just saying, understand the great responsibility of what you're going to step into and what it is you're going to do and what He expects of you. Why don't you stand with me this morning? Church, we are called to affect people that we live around, the effect that the community we're in and the time period we're in, we're called to affect people for Jesus Christ. And that's not a one-person job. That's a whole church job. If you're here this morning and you believe God's been dealing with you about coming into a ministry, then I invite you to surrender. I fought the call to preach for a long time. And I remember where I was when I surrendered to the call to ministry. I remember the Holy Spirit saying to me, if you will obey my voice, things will never be the same. And I remember thinking, oh great, I'm going to Africa. I did. I just thought God's going to call me into the jungle somewhere. Well, that's not what He called me for. But He was right. My life's never been the same. I wished I could stand here and say I've always been a perfect example, that I've never had any problems since I've been in the ministry. I've had a boatload of problems, but I've never borne it alone. And I've always found my God to be faithful to equip me to do what He's called me to do. And I can say to you with confidence today, He will be faithful to equip you for what He's called you to do. He very rarely asks you to do something that you're going to be completely comfortable with, but He'll always support you in what He calls you to do. If you need to make a decision for Christ this morning, if you say, I've never made Him Savior, I've never called upon the Lord, and I'm going to invite you to do that today as we sing our song of invitation. If you need to surrender a part of your life or all of your life to Jesus Christ, then do that before you leave here. If God's dealing with you about ministry, about serving in the church, then step up and say, here I am, send me, as we sing our song of invitation.
Time.